This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, head open three for the tie. Good! Wiley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Fish of the Age! 62 McPherson, 58 the Age in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me, as always, the man dressed in yellow...
Canary.
Tweety. Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, we've had a fun week so far. We said it yesterday that we have had a Miss Basketball on the show, and that there are probably not very many stations that get Miss and Mr. Basketball in their state in back-to-back days. We had Taylor Robertson on yesterday, and today, joining us in studio, Mr. Ben Pyle, Mr. Basketball. Ben, good afternoon, man.
How's it going?
What have you been up to since March 10th? I think that's the last time I saw you up in Salina with the state championship game against Miege. What have you been doing for the last 2 months?
Playing a lot of Fortnite, taking naps, and working out. That's about it.
Can you explain Fortnite to Steve? Because I don't think
is that like
he has
is that anything like Netflix?
No, it's a video game.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know stuff like that.
Steve doesn't know a lot about Netflix. He doesn't know about Hulu.
Snapchat.
We've got him on Facebook.
Snapchat. There's a Snapchat.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get you a Snapchat. Fortnite.
Instagram.
It's a big game
Instagram,
right now.
Something like that.
Do you remember when Call of Duty was a thing? Were you familiar? Did you hear that name ever?
No.
Well, it's a video game. And a lot of the guys Ben's age, guys my age too, love Fortnite. I think we could hook you up with it.
I don't think I can handle it.
Are you very good?
Yeah.
Bold statement. So we've got Ben in studio today. Number one, because, well, he's about to get out of here and head to Western Illinois on Sunday to be a leatherneck. Do you know what a leatherneck is?
I'm not really sure. It's
Steve,
like
do you know what a leatherneck is?
I have no idea.
Well, it's one heck of a mascot. I think that's going to be the first question you need to ask whenever you get there is say, what is a leatherneck?
Is it like, what is a mound builder?
At least the mound builders, I think I have a decent story. I know what a bullpup is.
Yeah.
That makes it a little easier. So we've got Ben in studio today. I wanted to rattle off Taylor's accolades yesterday at the start of the show, and instead I waited until the end. I want to rattle off some of Ben's accolades. Number one, Mr. Basketball in the state of Kansas this year. He was also an all-state, all-class, which will qualify Ben for the Wall of Fame, which Steve has been talking about all day. 11 from the class of 2018, Ben, that will be going onto the Wall of Fame. So I hope that you'll be able to sneak away from Western Illinois and practice and games to make your way back here in December. But I think that when you get inducted, you'll be standing with a whole lot of people from this class of 2018. Not a bad class, huh?
Yep.
You guys were able to accomplish a lot, whether it was basketball, whether it was football, whether it was girls soccer, boys soccer, girls basketball.
And if you go to
pretty much everything.
And if you go to midkansasonline.com tomorrow, I'm going to look back on the year of the Bullpups. And, you know, I said, you know, this is getting to be kind of a every year occurrence. You know, every year at the end of the year, I'm saying, well, it's the year of the Bullpups. Well, I think I said that last year too. But this year, to me, I've been here 39 years. This is the greatest year I've ever covered because we had 11 teams win a league championship, two win a state championship. We had others that were second or third in the state. We had players like fourth in doubles and girls tennis. I mean, we had a lot of you know, we were just at the top of seemingly everything in Class 4A. It was either McPherson kids or Miege kids, it seemed like, you know, were winning things. And really, it was we were the two gold standard schools in Class 4A Division I this year.
Well, Ben, I'll brag about you a little bit more. You became the all-time leading scorer in McPherson High boys basketball history, 1,560 points. The all-time leading rebounder, which also happened in the same game, 614, and the all-time leader in games played with 99. Now, there's always going to be that asterisk next to the games played in 99, because you played in 100% of the games you could have possibly played, but you guys missed one this senior year. Ben, before we talk about your career and what happened this past year, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the recruiting process and how you decided to choose Western Illinois, because I don't think there are a lot of people here that know a ton about Western Illinois. How did you find them, or probably more importantly, how did they find you?
They saw me late July at a tournament, and we talked for a while, and we talked about getting on a visit, and it just felt really good when I was there. Felt a lot like McPherson. The town's built really similar, just a little bit bigger, but it just felt like home.
And one thing about Western Illinois that maybe people don't remember, Matt Robbins, who was an all-state player for the Bullpups in the late 90s, he was on a state championship team. He went to Western, ended up having a real nice career. I think he may have started 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he didn't score a lot, but he was a playmaker. I think he averaged 6 or 7 points. And then, of course, Brad Underwood, you know, an all-stater, 1982 for the Bullpups, one of the all-time leading scorers in the school history. He went up there as an assistant coach to Jim Kerwin, who was at Oklahoma at one time. And Brad was there, I think, 10 or 11 years before he started, you know, really moving his way up the coaching tree. So there is a tie between McPherson and Western Illinois.
Well, Ben, I know that you'll find out a little bit more once you get there. But what kind of position do you see yourself playing in college? Because you're a big guard in some ways, but then sort of a smaller four or a five, because you can shoot, you can handle, you can defend. And so at your size, I don't really know exactly what your position is, because I think you're kind of a hybrid. Do you have an idea of more of the way you'll be playing in college?
Probably playing like the three or the four as a stretch, try to stretch it out and make plays.
I think that you'll be a problem for a lot of threes and fours in the Summit League that aren't really ready for a 6'8 guy to pull the three from 30 feet and knock them down from the perimeter. So when you're going into this summer, you mentioned to me that you'll be taking some online classes and being there and getting used to being there, leaving very early, getting there on June the 3rd. What's the practice and workout regimen like for you guys for the 2 months over the summer?
Well, you can't have team practices, but you can have workouts with like a certain amount of guys, so they'll pretty much group you by position, do your daily workouts and stuff, and then everybody can work out in the weight room together.
The thing that I always found amazing, and maybe you can fill me in on this, was your range for somebody 6'8". I mean, 6'8" guys just don't shoot, you know, 25, 22 footers at 35% to 40%. Was it just repetition, or had you always just been a really good shooter?
Just repetition, I guess. You got to get up the shots every day. Try to get on the gun after practice.
And one thing for you, though, at 6'8" and playing basically, you know, a wing, you didn't have anybody able to block your shot because, you know, you were able to get your shot off over people. And that is just such a huge advantage. But the other thing that I really like this year about your game is that you took it more to the basket. And you have just a myriad of moves. I mean, you've got amazing English with some of those up and under spin moves, and that is something that you had to, you say sometimes people, well, they're fooling around or, you know, doing reverse stuff, but you made that as an actual part of your arsenal, reverse layups and finger rolls and thing like that. When did that really come into your game?
Probably from a really young age, when I was playing up a couple of years with Drew's team.
Was your dad throwing your stuff away, though, going one-on-one against him? He probably took great delight in throwing your shot against the wall or something.
Exactly.
Ben, I was going to ask you, I was looking through the record books today, and I was reading some of your dad's numbers. Pretty good free throw shooter, as well as a pretty good guy at the rim. He didn't take a lot of threes until his last year. You think 18-year-old Ben could take down 18-year-old Dave?
Oh, yeah.
I think I side with Ben on that one. But
I think I'll take Ben,
too. I'll tell you, and I don't know if I've told you this, Ben, but one of my favorite stories about you has always been Tommy. I'm good friends with Tommy, your mm-hmm. uncle. Played with Steve Henson and Jeff Gehring and Richie Manner and Eric Berlin and those guys in 86. That's the team that won their – or I think they lost their first game of the year, won 19 in a row, and then lost in the sub-state finals. But I got talking to Tommy one day because your family, of course, very well known, yep. The Pyle family, you know, has got quite a legacy going clear back to Big Ed, we used to like to call
him.
Yeah,
play a little basketball.
Yeah, play a little basketball. But I was talking to Tommy one night, and I think maybe – Jack was maybe a sophomore or junior, and I said, man, Jack's got a chance to be one of the best. And Tommy says, they can all just put it away. He says, I've got a nephew. He's in the third grade. He will blow everyone in our family out of the water. He says, you mark my words, he will be the best player, you know, to come through McPherson High along with maybe Steve Henson. And sure enough, Tommy was prophetic. He saw in the third grade and fourth grade that you were going to be something special. So he really, you know, that's a story I love to tell because Tommy hit it on the head. And, you know, you've got quite a family history. I mean, I don't know how many, have you ever guys sat down how many between the brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandma, how many Piles have played at McPherson High?
I have no idea. It's a ridiculous amount.
It really is.
I ask this question a lot when I'm thinking about LeBron James. And it's part of the pressure of being the number one player on a team where you're relied upon to score a lot of points. And luckily, you've had a good couple of teams the last few years where there are other scorers, and it's not like this year's type of LeBron James team. But how do you prepare for games when you know your average is 22, 23, 24 points, where you know you need to score that many points? Is it something that you just let the game play out? Or is it more of you're thinking, okay, I've only taken three shots here in the first quarter. I need to take a couple more. How do you prepare yourself to know you've got to do a lot of bulk scoring?
Just kind of let the game come to me. Just try to make the right play, whether it's shooting or making the right pass or playing defense, just whatever feels right for that game.
We'll talk about the seniors on the team this year. You guys were a special group. Everyone kind of knew going, you know, it started really before in grade school. You got the middle school. Everyone said this class is going to be something special. And then you look, you know, finally this year, you started four seniors and then Jake. But, of course, Jace, the other senior, Jace Alexander, yep. came off the bench, hit some monster three-pointers for you guys. But this senior class, you guys seem to always have that innate sixth sense of knowing where everybody was going to be on the floor. I mean, you were a scorer and a rebounder. You had Thomas and Drew, they knew their roles. Yep. They knew what they were going to do. Now I'm blanking out. Mason was the point guard to run the show. And then Jace, of course, the three-point shooter off the bench. But you guys had such a history. I remember the you were a football player. A lot of people don't remember. Well, Jim Dunn probably
knows. That's what I would like to see.
You were a really good receiver in the eighth grade. And I believe your eighth grade football team gave up like one touchdown the whole year. And we knew then that that team was going to be special in football, and then in basketball you just blew everybody away. But this senior class and those guys, you really did have an amazing bond between you five guys. And just kind of describe that and the guy and those other guys.
I mean, we've just played together for so long. We've traveled to tournaments together, hung out at hotels, hang out after practice, eat dinner before we play the MIT sometimes. You just really like to spend a lot of time together.
And play Fortnite together.
And you were friends off the court, too. That was a thing. You know, you guys were really good friends off the court. But it's just, you don't see, you know, that many. A lot of teams don't carry five seniors because they just, you know, they say, well, we got to look the next year. And if there's a senior that's not going to play, you know, you generally, you know, you don't play. But all you guys, you know, you start, in fact, you know, you guys, most of your guys started 3 years. You played 4 years. The 2015 team, very exciting because you got to play with Drew and that team. Was that the undefeated team or not?
Yep.
Yeah, undefeated team. And, you know, you look back at all the great McPherson teams, there's still, I believe, only three on the boys' side that have been undefeated. So that makes that one just a little more special.
We're joined in studio today by Mr. Basketball in the state of Kansas, Ben Pyle, the former Bullpup now and future Western Illinois Leatherneck. Let's take our first break, and when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about Ben's career as a Bullpup as well as this past season as they went 22-2 and finished second in the state. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and joined in studio today by Mr. Basketball, Ben Pyle. Ben, are you going to be able to make it back for the Mr. Basketball ceremony and playing the game?
Yeah, I think I'll be able to make it back for the KBCA stuff.
I think if I remember right, it's June 23rd.
Well, you're going to be there.
Yeah, do you think they'll let me play?
No.
What kind of player do you think I'd be, Ben?
Not very good.
Shots have been fired. You know, Ben, I'm okay. I only can play as a 5, which is the problem because I'm 5'10". Yeah. So if I get anybody that's a little bit taller than me and can, like, jump a little, I'm not going to win. But what my key was all the time is I pretend to be bad, like really, really bad, and so they'll put the worst player on the team on me, and I'm always better than the worst player on the other team. That's pretty good strategy.
Do you think that I played basketball when you look at me?
I don't think so.
I was the blur. I was a point guard. I went from 6th man as an 8th grader to 15th man as a 9th grader to church league as a sophomore. So
Ben,
my career careened.
If you need a ringer, just let me know. Right. Mark Heidebrecht, fan of the show, he just texted me and said that 17 different Piles have played for McPherson High starting in 63.
Okay.
So there's the answer to
that
question.
There's the answer. Jeez. And you're going to be on
the wall.
That's a lot. And I was just thinking, you know, when we were talking about the Wall of Fame, your mom's on the Wall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So how exciting is that to be on there with your mom's on there on the Wall of Fame?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Because I covered your mom when she was in high school. She was known more for her track.
Yeah.
But she played basketball, but she could really run. And she was a good 400. She was really good in the 400. Mm-hmm. She was great on the relays. We had, I think, a couple state championship relay teams. That's back when the Bullpups won back-to-back state championships in track and field.
We might see your sister on the Wall of Fame at some point by the end of things. Did you get to see her throw the shot very much this spring?
I didn't get to see her throw a shot at all, but I've heard it's pretty impressive for her size.
What do you think of her basketball game? I know that she didn't get
to play quite
as much this year, but
she was a she actually played. I mean, you played more as a freshman than she did, but she did get to play and as a freshman. If you play as a freshman at McPherson High, that's pretty special. And your first year, you were a freshman. You were basically, if I recall, the 6th man off the bench. And I think I was trying to think who our lineup was. I think Kyler was the point guard.
Yeah. Kyler, Drew, Peyton. Nutter, Peyton, and Spencer.
Yeah, and that was the common bond there is that you had a bunch of seniors that year.
Yep.
That was Kyler and Peyton and Spencer senior year, Nutter senior year. Nate was kind of the underrated guy. He was kind of the Drew Labertu of that team. Did all the dirty work and just seemed to make the big plays, you know, when needed. Spencer Wine was a little more of a scorer probably than what Diggs was. Spencer, of course, went on and has played some at Washburn in their junior varsity program. But that was a special team. But just think of your career. You hardly ever lost. I mean, it had
90-9.
And I can't even remember the 9 loss. Well, I will say the 1 year, talk about your junior year, I believe it was. We were 6-4 after 10 games. What was going through your mind then? Of course, we won 13 in a row after that and then lost to Miege. But what turned that season around? You were 6-4. You were struggling. And, you know, I think you even lost a game at home, which you almost never did.
Yeah, we lost home to Andale.
Yeah, and they had a 3-point shooter that went kind of crazy that game. But what was going through your mind and the team's mind when you guys were 6-4, you were searching for answers? What turned that season around?
We all got together. Josh Alexander actually called us up, and we all went and sat together in his office, kind of talked it through, got us back on track.
And what did he say to you? What did he, what did
just kind
of
reminded us.
Josh kind of had, yeah. He had a little bit of game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
But what did he say? What, you know, as his observations, because you know he's watched, he'd watch you guys grow up, and you're, what did he say you needed to do? You felt.
He just kind of reminded us of how we used to play. I mean, he coached us for a year or two back in the day, and he just really wanted us to play together.
And I think that one thing that will really be interesting to look back on, and especially looking ahead to next year, is that when you look at this past season, everybody that was coming back, they knew their role. Mm-hmm. You guys had almost played a full season with just that lineup, and so you guys weren't learning. Yep. You were just doing what you knew what to do from game one. And you had a couple of football guys that got back late, and so it didn't take much time to transfer everybody and get ready. This year will be a little different for this upcoming team because they've only got one real regular back, one out of the starting lineup, and Jake. You'll be able to work in the Cody Stufflebeans and those type. But I think one thing that made this year's team so easy to work with and so easy to get into a hot streak was you guys had played together for so long, and it kind of goes back into that. Did it feel a lot of the time that you guys just knew exactly where the other ones would be and you knew everybody's tendencies? Did it feel like that made a big difference for you guys?
Yeah, it does, because we really know how to rotate on defense. We know how to move the ball on offense. Just know everybody knows how to run their spots, just get everything done right.
And another thing I noticed, I went to the team camp last night and was watching them practice a little bit. Another thing that will be different for them is that you guys on the team this past year, you knew the offense. Mm-hmm. You knew the defense inside and out. Where there are a lot of guys coming up for this next year that will have to learn a little bit more on the fly, and I think that's another advantage that this past year's team had. It's not like you had defenses breaking down and didn't know where you were supposed to be. I think that maybe kept Coach Kinnaman's stress level down a little bit, where he just called out a play and you guys knew what to do. How many different plays and defenses did you guys run? Was it a lot more just simple things, or how many different sets did you guys have?
You had hairpiece.
Yeah, we have a ridiculous amount of sets. I think there's like 50-some on that note card he has.
That makes it a little bit more difficult to remember. We're joined in studio today by McPherson, former Bullpup star Ben Pyle and Mr. Kansas. Ben, we'll talk a little bit more about this year after this break, and then maybe look ahead to what's coming up with your career at Western Illinois, starting here in about a week as you're making your way to Illinois. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on this afternoon's According to Jim. We're wrapping things up here with Mr. Basketball in the state of Kansas, Ben Pyle. Is it pretty cool that a girl that you've played with and been around your whole life, and Taylor Robertson, you two get to share that honor as seniors, well, now graduates of McPherson High? How cool is that that you guys got to take this whole journey together?
Yeah, it's really awesome. I mean, we've been in the gym together at the Y. I mean, we took a trip to Chicago, both won Junior Olympics back in third grade. So, I mean,
how would you do in a game of horse?
That's what I was going to ask.
I don't know. I think it would be interesting. It would probably depend on the day.
What about a free throw shooting contest?
I don't think I'd win that one.
Hey, I'm glad
you're consistent.
She's a pretty good free throw shooter. Yeah. When she went, what?
Well, yeah, we said
98 of 104.
We said something like that. We asked her yesterday, you know, when you she says, we said, how many free throws did you shoot today? She said, oh, maybe 100. And I said, well, you missed three, or, well, one, two, maybe.
Exactly. It's not bad. Well, Ben, as we look back on your senior season, I think one of the bright spots to look at, number one, the McPherson Invitational, number two, Substate, because you guys had won the McPherson Invitational every year that you had been a part of it. Mm-hmm. And you look back to that semifinal game against Shawnee Mission East, you're down going into the fourth quarter, no Jake Alexander that game. And you guys rally, come back to beat Shawnee Mission East. And I remember Steve making a comment about how he doesn't remember a crowd in the recent years that was as loud as the Roundhouse had been that night. You think that's one thing you're going to miss? Friday nights in the Roundhouse with a bunch
definitely
of people screaming?
Definitely, for sure. I mean, the Friday nights, especially when we play someone really good or it's the Invitational, it's really packed and everybody's there to cheer us on.
You guys get to come back again against Bishop Carroll in the McPherson Invitational title game. You make your way through the month of February, beating El Dorado, Great Bend, Winfield. Then you get to the sub-state. And we knew Ulysses wouldn't be much of a worry, but we knew with Bueller looming that you had played against a lot of those guys growing up, and you knew you had one more win left in your tank to beat them. And it was a bigger win than it felt, just because anytime you play them, it feels a little
closer. And one thing is, Bueller had not beaten the Bullpups in like 20-some years.
Yep.
Granted, there were some years off where we didn't play them. But you always just had that in the back of your mind. Well, is this going to be the game? You know. And the thing is, they were a hot and cold team.
Yep.
And you just with the Browns, you know, they didn't use Owens like they should have. I always felt like they should have got him the ball so much more. But you know, Smyers is a good player. The two Browns, Schrog, I believe it was, is a good shooter. And in the back of your mind says that one night they could just get hot and slow the game down because you know they knew. Straight up, they couldn't beat you, just straight up. But I kept thinking at some point they're going to try and get it in the 30s. But you guys, you know, you were at home. You weren't going to lose at home.
It was a pretty rowdy crowd that night, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Bueller guys, they kind of start. It seemed to me they kind of started sniping at each other. I knew then. I knew
really
then. When they got the technical foul, it was a Dreer came in.
Yeah.
Got the he was in like 30 seconds, got a technical foul. It was game over right then. Yeah, me.
How sweet was that moment to wrap up your career in the Roundhouse, win a sub-state game, a sub-state title game over Bueller, go back to state? I remember you guys got all pulled out at the same time all the seniors did. Was that a pretty sweet moment to wrap things up with them?
Really felt great.
So then you get to the state tournament. Spring Hill gave you guys a tough game, but you knew they weren't too big of an opponent.
Yep.
You beat Arc City. You get to play Miege again. And after you guys had played them in December, I think you knew what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think you guys executed the game plan to what exactly you needed to do. You had a big first half in that game.
Mm-hmm.
The third quarter was the quarter, though, that Miege started to rolling, get more confidence, get back into the game. Is there anything, thinking back to that Miege game, that you wish could have gone different, obviously besides the outcome?
Mm-hmm. Just playing more aggressive in the second half. We thought we're just going to slow it down, limit their possessions and stuff, and then they got on a roll and we couldn't get going offensively after that.
And that had to be, for you, you know, having gone up against Jeremiah so many times, that kind of had to raise your level because you knew, you know, with Jeremiah out there, you had to be at your best. He was at his best. Both you guys were at your best. And, you know, they had – you know, another big guy in there, Josh Early. The Lopes kid was always kind of a bullpup killer, it seemed like. That's the one guy that always seemed to rise to the occasion for Miege.
Are you going to miss going to battle with Jeremiah Robinson Earl?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You guys had some pretty good battles this year. I'll never forget those final two shots at Miege where you had the turnaround jumper with about 10 seconds left that would have given you guys the lead. The buzzer beater that would have tied it and sent it into OT. Oh, watching you two guys battle. I hope that somewhere down the road you guys get to match up again.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever school he goes to, if you get to go over there and play against him again. I think you guys were pretty even in terms of that battle.
And, there was a lot of respect, I think. Between
Yeah,
for sure.
So, Ben, as we look back, is there a moment of your career that stands out as one of your favorite moments? Is there a game? Is there a shot? Is there a dunk? There are a lot of them. A
lot of dunks.
Is there a moment that stands out to you as one that you'll never forget?
Probably the state championship my freshman year.
And playing with your brother that year, that'd be special too. And of course, he was just an outstanding player. And when he was a sophomore, Jim, the state championship game, I can't remember if it was Paola or Hayden who we were playing. It escapes me now. But he had a game. I mean, he was really the difference in the game. I think he had like 18 or 21. You know, he was like our third option probably, second or third option. But then he had such a big game. And that's really when he put himself on the map. And when did you feel like you kind of put yourself on the map?
Just throughout the sophomore year, when I had to really step up. Because that junior class, there wasn't anybody playing from that class. So it was Drew, Avery Spencer, mm-hmm. Lecker, Marcus, mm-hmm. and then me.
Right.
I had to step up and play.
Well, when you are the all-time leading scorer at a program like this, you have to be pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one thing that we saw with your game. It was just consistency. You knew what you were going to get every night. You either have to have one crazy year where you go off for a Trae Young type of year, or you just have to be consistent, and that's what we saw from you. A 90-9 overall record in your 4 years, playing in all 99 of those games, yep. 4 tournament championships, 4 trips to the state title game. I don't know if there will be very many other people that get to put that on their resume. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Robinson Earl might not be able to put that on his resume, because who knows if he will still be playing there. You are in some pretty good company.
Rarified.
When you get to 4 state championships and playing 100% of the possible games. So, Ben, what do you think is going to happen with them next year?
I'm not really sure yet. I mean, get up there and work out as hard as I can. Put myself on in position to play, I guess.
Are you going to keep up with the Bullpups next year as well?
Yeah, I'll try to keep up. Maybe see if I can sneak back and catch a game or two.
How long does it take to get to Western Illinois?
About 7 hours.
Okay. Ooh. A little too long for Steve.
Yeah. I always have to have a nap, so that's a little long for me.
Well, Ben, we congratulate you on a fun career, a terrific career, and I guess that we'll be seeing you again in late June mm-hmm. at the KBCA All-Star Game. Best of luck at Western Illinois, and I think you know that everybody here at McPherson will be pulling for you.
Yep, thanks.
All right, Steve. Let's wrap up today's show. Tomorrow, we'll find something to talk about. There have been a million things
NBA.
That have been happening the last 2 days. We'll find out.
Golden State begins their demolition tonight.
So. Ben, you think LeBron's got any chance?
Not really. I'll give him one game.
All right, we'll give him one game. Yep. LeBron and the Cavs taking on Golden State tonight. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about that tomorrow, and we will also try to dive into the very weird 76ers president drama, Brian Colangelo. We wrap up today's show. For Ben Pyle, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE.